We've got snow. So everybody stay safe out there.
Well, what's the rule after the shadow? Is it 6 weeks? What's the timeline for spring to, quote, arrive? It's because it's February 20th. I don't find it to be all that surprising that it might snow on February 20th. I think that's more the rule.
Maybe with the warmer temperatures that we've had over the last week, I just fast-forwarded the clock in my mind, my mental clock. Yeah.
On July 10th, I rarely say, man, I can't believe how hot it is outside. So
you are a smart aleck.
And we're off and running here on Sports 180. How's everything going?
It's good. It's good. We are almost to Friday, so happy Thursday to everybody out there. We've got a couple of giveaways today for people and a big show planned. Yeah. Cannot wait to talk to Nick Elam, because one of the things that I'm wondering, if he's had any sort of conversations with people about this being a growing trend, using his ending and what we could see it in next.
He created the Elam ending, which was used at the end of the NBA All-Star game this past Sunday. It was a smashing success. Rarely can you find a huge collection, high percentage of people all agreeing, especially agreeing that something was good. You can typically find people to agree that something's bad. Good, yeah. That's another conversation, and that actually happened this past weekend.
You can't even get people to agree on, like, donuts. You know, they all got different opinions.
Too many sprinkles.
I don't want a donut. I want an apple fritter. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a donut. It's free. Here, take it.
I don't know if they're going apple fritter, but that's another conversation as well. So, Nick Elam, the Elam ending, turning off the clock and playing to a certain number to close out a basketball game. We'll talk to him at 1 o'clock. David Martin for our Call of All segment in 25 minutes. Look forward to talking to the former Tennessee Vol as well as Green Bay Packer, Miami Dolphin, Buffalo Bill. That's in 25 minutes here on Sports 180 as we begin today's show taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Just when you look at Georgia and start making fun of the Bulldog season, they get a win against the Auburn Tigers, which really needed a win. And I would say really need Isaac Okoro to come back, as Auburn will get ready to host Tennessee on Saturday. The Tigers have played two games this week without Okoro, their talented freshman forward, and they've lost to Missouri and Georgia, two of the bottom five teams in the conference.
Good thing only the South Carolina-Mississippi State game was in the face-off, or we would have gotten one wrong, because I thought there was no way in the world that Georgia, even though they were at home, could beat Auburn. I was like, Auburn's just too good. This isn't, a Tennessee versus Georgia or somebody else like that. This is just unbelievable. Auburn still has their perfect home record intact this season, but this is a bad loss for the Tigers.
Yeah, and Auburn's a solid basketball team, but it's not that good. And when I say that good, I mean compared to top teams in college basketball. Auburn is not in that discussion.
Yeah, they're definitely not Baylor.
Nowhere close.
Yeah, nowhere close. They're definitely not Kansas.
KenPom ranks Auburn the 37th best team in the country.
Ooh, and that just shows you how much the SEC is just not getting any love.
Yeah, it's a big drop-off for the league this year, and we'll see if Kentucky can make a move there, but Kentucky is the highest-ranked KenPom team. That's number 28 in the country. That's with a 21-5 record.
Auburn only scored 55 points last night. I know they're going to be confident when they head back home to play Tennessee. Obviously, Bruce Pearl is always motivated to play the Vols, so he's going to have his team in a good spot mentally, but like you were saying, physically with Okoro, what happens there?
Yeah, that'll be a big question heading into Saturday. Will he be available? As you mentioned, elsewhere in the SEC, Mississippi State did win at home against South Carolina. And then Texas A&M, how about the win against Alabama? So Buzz Williams done a nice job getting that thing turned around for them in the SEC. Not a great showing by Duke last night. How about ETSU, Steve Forbes getting the win over Furman there, Joel?
It was a big win. It was a packed house, too, and a really good performance. You had Bo Hodges and Lucas Gasson both getting in foul trouble, and other guys stepped up. You had Patrick Good come off the bench and give a double-digit effort, and Furman had some really good players with Jordan Lyons getting in foul trouble early. So I think for ETSU, defend its home court, takes over first place in the SoCon. At the beginning of the day, both those teams were considered in the tournament field, but ETSU is actually getting some at-large love that they could still make the tournament without winning its conference tournament, especially after beating LSU in Baton Rouge back in December.
how much longer is Forbes going to be at ETSU? Because he's got some greener pastures right on the horizon. Not that I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the East Tennessee State program. I'm
Steve Forbes watches on. He could get a job at any time.
Amazing. And I've heard recent interviews with him on Sports Talk, and just the amount of basketball knowledge that guy has, he is fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl had a really good coaching staff when he was at Tennessee.
Elite. Yeah. Yes.
So good for Steve Forbes and ETSU. They'll be a team to pay attention to down the stretch. The NFL, extra game, extra teams in the postseason. What do you think of the idea that looks to be coming to a close here soon?
I don't know how the extra game works. Who are you going to play? What's the formula going to be like for that? And I think you know where I stand on adding more teams to your postseason. I think it waters down your product, and I'm not a huge fan of it. I think it's ridiculous how many teams the NBA puts in with 16 teams getting into the playoffs. It's like, come on, that's a joke. The 16 teams do not have the ability to win a championship. All they have the ability to is upset somebody that actually is on a good path to win the championship. So I'm not a huge fan.
Do 68 teams have a chance to win the NCAA tournament?
No, absolutely not. But I was kind of against them expanding.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, from 64 to 68. Do 64 teams have? No, of course not.
It's
do 32 teams have a chance to win the NCAA tournament?
The NCAA tournament brackets, and they do it in volleyball, women's basketball, everything. It's sort of a gimmick. It's their best way to determine a champion. That's the best thing they've come up with.
Well, It's the most entertaining way. I mean, in terms of determining a champion, it's the worst way.
Yeah.
But it's the most entertaining way. And it's different in that it's one and done. You're not playing a series of games. But the reason it's the worst way is because the best team can actually lose to a team that has no shot of winning it, and you have the excitement of the upset, but they're not in championship contention. You are correct. I mean, obviously, if you add teams, you are watering it down because a greater percentage gets in. I guess my response to that would be, so what? How does that negatively affect the sport?
Well, again, because you could, kind of like the Giants beating the Patriots. Now, I know a lot of people loved that, and it was the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But say you have something like that happen in the first or second round, and you really do derail a team that has a great shot at winning.
Then somebody else will win it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't see how that, it doesn't hurt the sport, because if a team can't win it, then they won't win it. So somebody else will, that's still going to be really good. You're not going to find some terrible team that wins it, because a terrible team is not going to be in there. And if a team that has a marginal record breaks in and goes on and wins it, then we're talking about what a story it was that they were able to go on that run and win it. A 9-7 Giants team won the Super Bowl. I have not heard too many people say almost a decade after that, man, NFL really took a hit when that 9-7 team won the Super Bowl.
No, it was just for me, because they only got in that year because they beat Dallas the last week of the season. So
we come back to it, don't we?
Twisted that knife, Josh.
We'll talk more about it this afternoon. We'll be talking about Tom Brady and the Tennessee Titans getting mentioned on the Rich Eisen show from Adam Schefter, crediting Jeff Darlington as well, that the Titans are more in it than people might be talking about.
The legs on this story are growing, and I'm here for it. I want a front row seat. I want some season tickets. Get Tom Brady to Nashville. Pull the trigger, John Robinson. Let's do this thing. Come on, Vrabel. Text him. Maybe Vrabel would get more than a shoulder shrug emoji back.
You are all in.
I'm all in.
On Brady to Nashville.
I'm all in on Brady to Nashville because, one, I think it will be hilarious for all the people that have hated him for this long and are Titans fans.
Yeah.
Now they have to root for him. Winnable division. You put Brady, it's plug and play. It reminds me so much of Peyton Manning going to Denver. That was a team built to win. They just needed a quarterback, and that's what the Titans are.
I don't know how it would work out. We don't even know if it will work out. One thing I don't want to hear, though, is Brady having to learn a new system. Things would change for sure, and they might have to adjust to Brady, but if Ryan Tannehill could go in there and learn the system, I'm guessing Brady can learn the system. I think he'll be fine there.
And the fact that people are thinking 5 years down the road, like, oh, well, Ryan Tannehill has more upside because he's younger, I really don't care about that. I think that is a lame argument. I'm sorry if you have made it to me in the past, and I'm calling you lame on the air.
You are.
I think it's a lame argument. And, I mean, Tom Brady, you put him on the Titans, you have the ability, a legit ability, to win the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. And you don't want that? We're still talking about an almost Super Bowl from 20 years ago. Come on.
Of course, it could crash and burn, so there's that possibility as well. Steve Sarkisian reportedly interviewing for the Colorado job. That's something to pay attention to. Knee surgery for Roger Federer. So we'll have to wait to see Feds come back there, Joel.
Yeah, fourth time in the last 5 years that he will miss the French Open. Is also going to miss Dubai, which is a big tournament because all the top players love going to Dubai. Indian Wells, Miami, Bogota. So arthroscopic surgery on his right knee. It was pretty bummed about that. I think at this point he's just trying to take care of his body and focus on the majors outside of the French Open because
he can't win in that one anyway.
Guys like Nadal, Team Djokovic, they kind of have a stranglehold towards the top of that one.
And the crazy thing is, if Nadal wins the French while Federer is idle, Nadal ties him.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just, it's exciting if you're a Rafa fan.
Lady Vols at Arkansas need to win this.
Need to win this. A four-game losing streak. I know that Texas A&M just narrowly edged out Tennessee. They did lead for most of the game, so it was really never
really
in doubt.
Held off the Lady Vols.
Yeah, yeah. And so Tennessee just needs to get back to winning ways. This is a winnable game. I know Arkansas is a tough place to play. But at some point in time, you got to overcome it. Let's break this four-game losing streak and get back on a roll here to close out the season.
We'll talk Tennessee basketball. Do you feel better about the Vols' chances at Auburn this upcoming weekend? We'll talk Tennessee football as well. David Martin with our Call of All segment at 12:30. We'll talk the future of basketball with Nick Elam from the Elam Ending. I say from. He's the creator of the Elam Ending at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And Alan Bell, we'll see what he thinks about some of these NFL moves at 2:30. We're loaded up this afternoon, 656-9900 for you to join us. Another publication, more numbers saying Tennessee, top 25, maybe top 20 team for 2020. Coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app, listen on the go anytime. All guests, remember, join us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. David Martin coming up in 12 minutes. How about right now? We send someone to see Jason Aldean coming up this weekend in Knoxville. Caller number 3 to 656-WINS, 656-9467. Be careful if you're driving with the weather coming down right now. Third caller to 656-WINS. Wins a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean coming to Knoxville this upcoming weekend.
Yes, Jason Aldean brings the We Back Tour to Thompson Bowling Arena this Saturday with special guests Morgan Wallen and Riley Green. Tickets are currently on sale now at KnoxvilleTickets.com/Aldean.
Yesterday, Heather, you had Tennessee as one of your bounce back teams for 2020. You had Tennessee as your number one bounce back team.
Number one.
In college football.
Big things. I'm expecting big things of the Vols. And much like Texas A&M, Tennessee's schedule finally opening up a little bit to have a big. It might not mean much in some regards, but to have more wins in the win column, that's what fans need at this point in time.
Yeah, you do add Oklahoma non-conference.
Mm-hmm. That'll be tough.
But that's replacing BYU, which beat you last year, so.
Kind of a wash.
in some ways. So I bring that up because ESPN's Football Power Index ranking, which came out earlier this week for a projection for 2020, subject to change as rosters and everything else can. Heck, there might be more coaching changes. Tennessee's at number 19 in the FPI from ESPN, which is the same ranking as the SP Plus from Bill Conley that came out recently. So you have another preseason top 25, in this case top 20 ranking for Tennessee looking ahead to the upcoming college football season. What do you think?
I think it's a little high. It makes me a little nervous because I say that thinking about our day-to-day lives, we're going to have to be talking people off the ledge at some point in time if things go awry from this prediction. The FPI is always a little high, in my opinion. I kind of like the SP Plus and some of the other rankings that you can follow. I think they're a little more reliable with what they integrate into their formulas. So I think people just need to take the FPI with a grain of salt. If it happens and it comes true and Tennessee truly is a top 20 team, that's awesome. But don't put that expectations on this group that's still going to be playing a lot of young players, still has some big questions, as you pointed out on your podcast a couple times this week, still big questions at offensive line and at linebacker. So those are two very important areas of concern, and we got a long way to go. But I like that Tennessee is at least getting respect, and I feel like that's what the FPI is giving them.
Should I offer the reminder that yesterday you had Tennessee as the number one bounce back team in college football for 2020?
I believe in them.
Okay.
But I also give the caveat that if it doesn't happen, don't just like freak out. I don't want people to freak out.
Right, right.
So set the expectations low and then see where they go.
My point would be that you were predicting a greater bounce back for Tennessee than anybody else in college football, but 19's too high. So how far are they really bouncing back if they're not a top 20 team?
Did you ever play Jax when you were a kid, but you only like, you would bounce it like really high, try and get them all? I don't know. It's going to be tough. And I think I go through moments of optimism and all maybe with a little bit of delusion in there.
Uh-huh.
But I also, this team has been building towards a really good like 8-4, 9-3 destination over the past couple of months. So I do think that Tennessee is going to be a really good team. I just feel like fans will see that. They'll demand it from week one. If they lose to Oklahoma, they'll be off the bandwagon. You know, it just make our lives rough.
Okay, so
I do think Tennessee is a top 25 team.
Okay.
And I have said that. I would just have them closer to 25 than 20.
Yeah. Also for some, I guess, just a reference point, Tennessee finished the 2019 season in the Associated Press poll number 34 in the country. So just from where Tennessee was at the end of the 2019 season heading into 2020, 9 spots out of the top 25 is where Tennessee was.
Yes.
So you're talking about a jump of 15 spots from there to number 19 where the FPI and SP Plus have Tennessee right now.
Which, in all honesty, 2 wins, I think, will get you there. And there are 2 wins built into this schedule that weren't there last year.
Yeah, if the highest ranked 3-loss team at the end of the poll would be Wisconsin, which was 10-4. Then you have Baylor 11-3 was number 13. Auburn 9-4 was number 14. Iowa 10-3, number 15. So 4 teams inside the top 15 with 3 losses by the end. That's after the bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
And championship games and all that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's how Wisconsin got to 10-4. Yeah.
Yep. So
I mean, what are you thinking? Do you think they're closer to 25 or do you think they're closer to 20 like the FPI would indicate?
Yeah, I would have Tennessee a few spots lower. But also remember, this is not a projection of their record because you could lose, which is, I think, a lot more fair. You could lose to Alabama. If you lose to Alabama in a close game, let's say Oklahoma because that comes first. You lose to Oklahoma, let's say you lose 28-24. The numbers would probably indicate you should move up in the ranking. But they won't in actual polls because you lost a game. So
yes,
the rules say you have to drop because it doesn't make any sense. So this is more of just what the team is,
mm-hmm,
not what the record will be against opponents, which is also, I think, a probably good way to look at it in February when you're still 6 to 7 months away from actually playing any games.
Yeah. We're also still 6 or 7 months from knowing just who the starting quarterback is as well, even though I've got a good indication of who I think it's going to be, but I would say some people, the jury is still out in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, Garantano, I think, is very clearly the favorite. So I would probably say, well, Tennessee a few spots lower makes a little more sense to me, but what's the difference in 19 and 22? Essentially nothing, I would say, when you're looking at it from this perspective.
Yeah, I guess it's all who you beat and where they fall in the, yeah, you're right.
Well, it's just what is your team? Like Nebraska is number 22. I mentioned the number 22 ranking.
Who was also on your list.
Yeah.
I think they were number 2.
Yeah. So of the bounce back teams.
Mm-hmm.
So Tennessee and Nebraska, if you compared the rosters, which one would you say is probably in better shape overall?
I think I'm always going to defer to an SEC roster over a Big Ten, unless it's like Ohio State.
Number 23 is Florida State. Things didn't go great this past year.
No, but I honestly, and I know people have made fun of Mike Norvell, I think he's really good. I think he is going to be just fine. I don't know what he does in year number one. I don't know how different the personnel he needs for his system. The best thing is, though, I mean, he's used to not getting, you know, top-tier athletes and still competing on a really good level, so... And the ACC isn't that strong. So could he do something and have a winning record this year? I think it's possible.
Yeah. Number 26. So if you're going to look at the top 25, number 26 is Indiana, which Tennessee needed a comeback to beat, but did come back to beat Indiana in the bowl game. So just a few reference points for you. The ESPN FPI with Tennessee at number 19, the top 4 opponents that Tennessee will play, Oklahoma's number 3, one spot actually ahead of Alabama, which is number 4, Georgia number 10, Florida number 11. So the football power index a little lower on the Georgia Bulldogs and the Florida Gators. We will come back and hear from David Martin coming up next. The former Tennessee wide receiver, longtime tight end in the NFL, had a really good run with the Green Bay Packers. Talks about his career ending up at Tennessee. It's quite a story how he ended up playing for the Vols and then how he turned football into a career even after he was done playing. That's coming up next with our Call of Vols segment here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us this afternoon. We continue to watch the weather here this afternoon. We'll have updates for you as they come in, including one from Sevier County.
Yes, Sevier County Schools, they tweeted out 32 minutes ago due to the weather and developing road conditions. Schools are going to close in Sevier County at 1:15 today. So, parents, please make your plans. I'm sure you've gotten a text or an email or a call if you've been in a meeting or something. Sevier County Schools are closing early today at 1:15 due to the weather and developing road conditions.
Yes, and if more news comes in, we'll have you covered right here on Sports 180. And each week, each Thursday, we have our Call of All segment. And this morning, enjoyed having a conversation with former Tennessee wide receiver David Martin. Had a really good career in the NFL as a tight end with the Green Bay Packers, Miami Dolphins, and Buffalo Bills, and now is coaching with the Maryville College football team. He's a tight ends coach, recruiting coordinator as well, which is really cool to see. And that's a lot of our conversation. Some good stories here as well in the conversation with VFL David Martin. David, I was thinking about this. When you think back to when you first started playing football, and then, of course, you were able to make a playing career out of it, now coaching, did you think that football was going to end up being a huge part of your life, that you were going to make a career out of the game?
Oh, not at all. Like I said, I was a basketball player starting out, and I thought that was my niche. And then my coach talked me into playing football in my junior year in high school, never played before, and this the rest is history. But I enjoy playing, and I enjoy being around it, so kind of weird how things work out.
What led you to, I mean, you mentioned your coach there, but what convinced you, I guess, would be the better word, to go out and play football and see what you had, and then, of course, you probably found out you were pretty good at it.
Well, I actually didn't try to go out. My basketball coach made us do something all season when basketball season wasn't in. And my sophomore year, I ran cross country. And that really didn't work out. So I figured I'd go sit on the bench in football and, you know, just kind of get the basketball season. And my football coaches were like, that ain't happening. So they kind of put me out there, and the rest is history.
So you ended up kind of being really good at football by accident?
Yeah, by accident, 100%. Yeah.
When did you realize that, okay, this is the path I'm going to take, talking about football?
I think within, like, my first 2 or 3 games in high school, my junior year, I got, and my coach asked me what school I liked to go to. You know, I had a choice, and I was always a Notre Dame fan. And I got a letter from Notre Dame, I think, a week later, and let's start getting letters. And I was like, well, I'm not really getting a lot of letters from basketball. I got a few, but not a lot. But, you know, the letters from football kept pouring in. I was like, well, I guess I'll give this thing a shot.
Talking to David Martin, former Tennessee and NFL wide receiver and tight end. And, David, you're kind of – you were a guy that may be ahead of your time, because there are so many stories now of guys who they start out playing basketball. They realize, hey, 6'4 basketball players, there are a lot of them, not as many wide receivers or tight ends. Tennessee just signed a guy, actually, a few weeks ago, who started out playing basketball in the last couple of years, worked football into his schedule, and now he's going to play football at Tennessee. But that's more the norm, the makeup of the basketball guy that can go over and play football, it seems.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, the skills you possess on the basketball court, man, you take that football and running and jumping and cutting and stuff, man, and then going up fighting for rebounds, like going up fighting for jump balls, it just more fits the hybrid tight ends. I like to call it more hybrid tight end system, but that's more in college and pros now.
And you had a really good career. Do you look at the offensive game today? I mean, you're coaching it now. Do you look at the way the game's played and the use of tight ends and big wide receivers and say, man, I really could have put up some numbers in today's game with the way that it's officiated and the rules are set up?
Oh, yeah. I wish I was 10 years younger, I'll tell you that, because the way it's done now, you know, we were still in the – I remember Bubba Franks was making Pro Bowls with 29, 30 catches, you know. And did it for 3 years straight. Now, 30 catches NFL, you know, nothing. You know, they get that in 2-3 games. So I would love to been in the offense they're running now this year, just open spread, RPO stuff. It's real exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, David, go back as we were talking about your recruiting process and all of that picking up. Do you remember when Tennessee really came into the picture and what ultimately led you to Tennessee?
Honestly, I never really watched Tennessee growing up. Like I said, I was a Notre Dame fan, so I followed Notre Dame everything. And it was always talk about Peyton Manning and wide receiver U and all this stuff. And then Peyton Manning announced he was coming back. I'd already verbally committed to Notre Dame, but then I wanted to play for Lou Holtz. And then going my senior year, Lou Holtz left. So I kind of pulled out of that. And I heard, it was all over ESPN that Peyton Manning was coming back to Rocky Top. So I was kind of got intrigued by it. So I kind of started looking up Tennessee stuff and just seeing how, you know, the success they had. I was like, man, I'm going to give this a shot. So when I came on my visit, I came to Alabama game where they were just throwing it all over the yard with, you know, Marcus Nash and Joey Kent and all them. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the place. So I put my poker face on with one of the schools, but I already knew where I was going.
Do you know what kind of impact Peyton had on the program in terms of just the attention he brought to UT and players like you who didn't maybe know as much about the university or the program itself, but knew Peyton, and that at least created some kind of connection?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, like I said, that's the reason why Tennessee even got on my radar. I mean, they were recruiting me, but I wasn't, you know, I hadn't really heard of them. I mean, I promise, I didn't even know what running out of T was. I honestly didn't. And I was like, you know, and everybody kept talking about Peyton Manning, and I was like, look, and I'm like, and when he announced he's coming back, and I started looking at him, I was like, oh, man, I should play for this guy. So I was like, yeah, if I had a chance opportunity to play for him, you know, I would have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I don't have to tell you this talking to David Martin, but it's funny how things turn out, isn't it? Because you end up at Tennessee, you meet your wife, who was a terrific athlete at Tennessee as well, in track and field, and now your home is East Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's been the biggest thing, especially raising our two boys, like, and trying to, you know, and the hardest part is, like, with two formal, you know, athletic parents, you don't force that on your kids, and that's the hardest part, is letting them know that, you know, you can build your own way, you know. But yeah, it's very competitive in the house, I'd say that.
Yeah. What is it like with your boys and their involvement in sports and you and your wife's involvement as well? How is that? What's that dynamic been like?
It's been great because like she helps them with endurance stuff, you know, and I help them with a lot of the strength and power stuff. I get them in the gym, but they're tall, of course. Like, I got one that's 6'6", that's in a junior, and one that's 7th grade, I think, probably almost 5'10". So it's been fun watching them grow up and develop, and they're both basketball players, though. So and so I get to teach them. I get to get back in what my first love was, basketball, and I coached my son for a while, my youngest son for a while, so. And I go to all my son's basketball games. I critique him bigger than anybody. So that's probably the hardest part. That's probably what sucks for them the most, is they got to come home and hear it too after hearing it from the coach.
Yeah, what's it like, life for them, David Martin, the father, but also David Martin, the coach?
I'm on mine the hardest, you know.
Yeah.
Cause I'm father and coach, so I'm trying not to be so much father and try to be more coach, but then the other players see me get on him, and it's more like, okay, he's, you know, I mean, let me straighten up. So it's different, but I mean, I tell you what, I didn't think my son would enjoy it, but he enjoyed it. I don't do it no more. Now I'm doing what I'm doing now, but it was fun. I mean, we won the city tournament back a couple years ago, so it was fun, you know, coaching the guys to get back in basketball again.
And, David, you're, of course, coaching. You're the recruiting coordinator at Maryville College as well. What has that been like? How do you think you've grown as a coach since you've turned into that phase of your career since retiring as a player?
I tell you what, man, it's just this molding young minds and being in the shoes that they were in and being able to offer them sound advice, not advice that was passed down to me, but life experiences, you know, stuff I've actually experienced, and them going through it and being able to share that with them and answer questions that they have. And I mean, even with recruiting, like, I enjoy that just because you get to tell them how recruiting was, and you've been through the process. And if some people have been in the recruiting process, some people just, that's just their job. But I've actually been through the process, and And that's the funnest part about it, just more like meeting all these young men and then trying to give them some kind of advice that could help them not only with football, but in life as well.
Yeah, well, when you think back to your time at Tennessee as a player, so a young college player, and then developing as a professional football player, what comes to mind? What do you wish you had known then? What do you try to pass along to players?
If I would have known, I had a big support system, but I always tell them, like, the best ability is availability, you know, and just being available, whether that's in, like, and no excuses, too, but being available, whether it's on the field, off the field, and accountable. You make a mistake, everybody's going to make a mistake, but man up to it, you know, man up to it, don't lie about it, you know, because it's going to come to light at some point, you know, just man up to it and just be accountable for all your actions.
Yeah, that's good advice. And, David, just a couple more things. David Martin here, our Call of All segment on Sports 180. I also thought about the fact that, so you're committed to Notre Dame. That program has as much history as you're going to find. University of Tennessee with a ton of history. Play for the Green Bay Packers, ton of history there, passionate fan bases. What was that like being connected to those schools, that professional franchise? Of course, the Bills and the Miami Dolphins as well.
Green Bay is just a whole different animal, you know, just being a part of that. It's just the fan base. I've never been to a place that's just, besides here, that's all about football. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, we still had, even here, though, we still had Lady Vols who was doing well at that time when I was here, and other sports I was doing well. But in Green Bay, it's just all football. All football. It was just like, man, the support we had. I mean, we had scrimmages and without pads on, and Lambo's like not an empty seat in the house, you know. So it was just all ball about them, and they had our back, and they supported us throughout. I've never seen anything like that. It was so electric, man, and it's exciting to play.
What is that like as a player when you know you have that kind of support and a fan base that is so passionate, all in on what you guys are doing?
It's real rewarding, but at the same time, it makes you a better player in the fact that, no, I say you play on a lot of pressure, but you don't want to let that fan base down, you know. Like, you want to play your hardest for them because they'll do their all for you. You want to get that back in return. So it kind of makes you a better player. It kind of makes you raise your level of play, especially with a guy like Brett Favre there and the expectations he had, like, night in and night out, day in and day out. You had to match his level of play, which everybody can't do. But it brought the best out of you.
You mentioned that Peyton Manning was a huge influence in getting you to Tennessee. Then you play alongside Brett Favre. I know you've described that as life-changing. For your career, what did that mean, playing alongside Brett Favre at a time where Green Bay is playing at such a high level as a franchise as well?
Well, it was really weird because I'm making a transition from receiver to tight end too, you know.
Yeah.
It was so many different variables going into it that, you know, my head was kind of spinning. And he just kind of told me, like, you're doing great, just slow down and just let it come to you. Don't force it like you force it. Don't just let it come to you. And that's probably the greatest advice I got, you know, coming from someone like him who took the time to help a little, you know, six-round rookie out that really just brought it to be a project, you know. But for him just telling me, like, you know, just slow down, just let it come to you. Don't force it. You're smart kid. I got the information well, just actually having to go out in the field and do it. And, you know, blocking was the biggest part of it, you know. But it all came together, man. And he helped me along the way and showed me where it's weird when you pick the minds of someone like that. Something that you think is so hard, he make it sound so easy when he explains it to you, you know. So, I mean, just coming up in that system along the way, just all the support I had, that just helped out a lot.
Yeah, you went from that, a six-round pick, just trying to make it to, you know, having a decade plus in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Hey, David, it's great to talk to you. Congrats on all that you've done as not only as a player, but now post-playing career, and happy for you and your family as well. Thanks so much for taking the time to catch up with our Call of All segment today.
Thanks for having me.
David Martin, enjoyed talking to him about his time at Tennessee as a pro and how he got into football as well. Great guy.
One thing you left out, also married to a Hall of Famer, Kamisha Martin, Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame for her track career. So, it's a very athletic family, for sure.
No doubt about it. We will come back. We'll hit the face-off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. That's coming up next here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. I think you'll enjoy our guest coming up at the start of the 1 o'clock hour, Nick Elam. He created the Elam ending. Will it be a big part of the future of basketball? We'll ask him about that coming up at the start of next hour. So as we close out hour number one, we hit today's face-off.
You want some? Come get some!
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
All righty, Joel, what do you have today?
Would you go all out for Tom Brady if you're running the Titans organization?
I would not. If I knew that Tom was leaning toward coming to Nashville, then that's when I would make my move. If I think he's going to maybe consider us, but he has a leaning somewhere else, maybe even remaining in Boston playing for the Patriots, then I would probably stick with Tannehill. But if it's real, I would go.
Financially, yes. I say you give him whatever you want. If you're having to give up anything else to sort of like leverage your future and it all hinges on Tom Brady, the best thing about the Titans is if you get an elite quarterback, they are a plug and play, I think, into the Super Bowl, definitely into championship weekend. So we'll see what happens. But yes, if it's up to money, I would pay him whatever he wanted for the next couple of years and get him.
Should the Bengals trade away the number one pick?
I think they should. And I think they should because the two guys that they probably want don't want to be there. So unless they're going with Young, and that's who they're going to draft, number one overall, I think they should get out, get a lot of value for those number one overall pick, and then just try and draft some more guys.
I would have to be blown away if I've evaluated the quarterback that I think is going to be a high level player at that position and I have the pick to take him, I'm going to take him. Now, if they evaluate differently, they say, I don't know, it's more hype than substance, then make a move. But I'm going to have to be blown away to give up that pick.
Even if they don't want to be there?
They'll be there, all right.
Over under 3 years for Coach K at Duke.
I don't think that he will ever retire. So
you're projecting if he's going to live longer than 3 years or not?
I joke a little bit. I'll go over. I don't see it right now. So if I can't see it right now, then I'm not going to see it in the next 3 years. It's a year-by-year basis almost, though, with the way it's recruited.
I think there are some cracks in the facade from this past year with him screaming at the one fan or his own fan base. Mm-hmm. He having the worst loss now to an unranked team in his tenure. Duke suffered last night to NC State. So I think the cracks are there. I'm going to actually take under on that one.
Do you support Little League organizations around the country dropping the Astros name?
I think this fits into the piling on category. Maybe teach the kids about Nolan Ryan when he was pitching for the Astros. I mean, the Astros are more than this group of cheaters that currently
exist.
Nolan
Ryan might as well teach him about Moses at this point.
Oh, come on. The big thing is, if you're going to have the Yankees, who are the ultimate cheaters, in my opinion, then yes, you still have the Astros. So no, I do not support this.
They're the ultimate cheaters. I would table the Astros for a year. You can be the Astros next year. Just probably no good to have an Astros in your little league. What if they start getting plunked?
Today is National Pet Day. Would you rather have a bird or a snake as a pet?
So
then y'all have no pets, right?
We don't have pets. Well, kind of. I mean, Owen's pettish, and he likes to pet his little brother. I'm out on snakes. Now, Zoo Knoxville, they're great with how they handle snakes and your chance to handle them. When Will and I were there like a year and a half ago, they brought Taco by, and Taco and I got along great. I didn't invite him to the house, though, so I'm going to go bird over snake.
I think I'm going to have to go bird as well, although I hear they make a big mess and they just chirp all the time. You have to, like, cover them up at night. But the idea of having a habitat that a snake could theoretically get out of and just be wandering around my house, I would not sleep a wink, so give me a bird.
I think snakes are better than you guys are giving them credit for, but Heather gets the win.
All right. All due respect to snakes on that. We have great respect for everything that's there, as they do for you at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Got a workout in yesterday. The weather, not for running outside.
Not good.
If you want to, have at it. They've got a track actually around outside. But
inside works too, and they have the equipment you need. They have everything to get you set up as well. Like Owen's doing swim lessons right now. He'll be back there on Saturday. So just love everything about the five-star health club, Kingston Pike, Pellissippi Parkway, that is Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it is more than a gym. This is truly a five-star health club. You walk in, you get a locker complete with a lock, so you can just put all your stuff in if you're coming straight from work, or you have to go to work after your workout. Put all your clothes in. They have such clean facilities. You are going to be surprised when you walk into the showers. There's always somebody constantly cleaning around. So everything is super clean. It's so nice. And then the workouts. You're going to get the workout in because you're not going to get bored. You've got over 130 different class options to take every single week, and no upcharges. You want to take bar class? It's included in your family membership. You want to do a water aerobics class? It's included in your family membership. Under $125 a month, and it's month to month, no long-term contracts.
You get complimentary childcare with your family membership as well. It's clutch. Kingston Pike, Pellissippi Parkway, it's Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. The players were required to be clutch at the end of the All-Star game on Sunday because of the Elam ending. The creator of it, Nick Elam, joins us to begin hour number two of Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.